Hey, good morning. I love you all. I love you all so much. It's really great to be back. I enjoy teaching Sunday school. I got all my laughter out in Sunday school. So I told Blake Johnson that, you know, he was expecting a Crimson Cafe illustration. You're not going to get that. He was expecting a rock and roll illustration. You're not even going to get that. And it's not even Brian Bond 101. It's going to be Brian Bond 102. So I know you're really waiting to imitate me after this one. Yeah, I am Brian Bond. I am the Reformed University Fellowship Campus Minister at Tennessee Tech in Cookeville, Tennessee. 10,000 engineer types, which is right down my alley, let me tell you. I was really angry at God this time last year. But I love my kids now. They're beautiful, beautiful souls, and I wouldn't want to be anywhere else in the world. I'll mention this later in the sermon, but I'm on some anti-anxiety medication. Surprise, surprise. And it really makes me thirsty. And you don't want me thirsty in the pulpit because I go crazy. Kathy starts wincing. But yeah, Kathy sends her love too. What's up, Sarah Doss? Yeah, Kathy sends her love too. And she's in Paducah on her way back. I haven't seen her in 6 days, so it took me a sweet time to see her. But I know if she were here, she would want to convey how much she adores every single one of you all. We talk about Riverwood all the time. We're so thankful. We're your debtors, not you to me, for sure, that you all put up with me at all. Much less for 8-9 years. It's just crazy to me still. So thank you. We'll be in Lamentations, and we're going to be looking at a different translations in the bulletin. So I don't know what you've got, but the more liberal, the better, because I've got the New Living Translation. It's definitely my favorite translation. Sorry, Blake. It's wonderful. I'll talk to you about it later. But Lamentations chapter 3, and you're going to need time to find Lamentations. It's right after Jeremiah. It's kind of stuck back there. After the Psalms and Proverbs, that's a hint. Hope is a funny word, the word hope. People talk a lot about hope. It can be reduced to political slogans like in 1984, keep hope alive. It can be talked about in poems. Emily Dickinson said, hope is the thing with wings. I don't know what she's talking about, but she was crazy anyway, so really crazy. But I'll say this, you can't live without it. You can't live without it. For some of you, your hope is anything but in good things today. Your hope in anything is bleak this morning. Even your hope in God really is bleak. Your ultimate hope, God, that he is not only concerned about you, you doubt that, but that he is actively on your side every day. Do you believe that? And why would you believe that? Why in the world would you dare believe that? Well, the writer of Lamentations here is having a very, very hard time believing that. He has lost all hope, just about. And then something happens to him in chapter 3. This is God's word. It's probably the darkest book in the Bible. And the only light in the whole book is what I'm going to read to you here. Verse 19. The thought of my suffering and my homelessness, it's bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies, they begin new each morning. And I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance or my portion. Therefore, I will hope in him. Oh, Father, please, please, please feed your sheep today. Please forgive the weakness of this vessel and this pulpit. And as I know you do every week in so many pulpits across this country and world, may your word go forth with power. Not my words. May your word go forth with power and change our lives. Please change us because we want to be like Jesus, even though we wouldn't admit that or think we know what that means. Please change our hearts. In Christ's name, amen. I'm going through a really, really difficult time right now, which is really ironic because this time last year, almost exactly, I was just coming out of the darkest valley of my entire life for a variety of reasons that I won't even get into here. But it was dark. It was dark, emotionally dark, weighed down, anxious. Kathy worried about me. My mind spinning a lot at night, ruminating, just couldn't turn it off when I would try to get to sleep. You know, real despair. I thought I knew what that was, but it was real despair. Future, when I would think about the future, I was really indifferent to it for the first time in my life, you know. It's kind of bleak. I couldn't watch TV shows anymore. Certainly not Project Runway or the dog shows with my sweetheart. But anything, movies, meaningless. Now, I would not ever want to go back to that place again. But in that place, in that valley, was a stark reminder to me of just how dark the human condition can get, especially even for Christians. Now, in my case, a fantastic counselor in Nashville, I called her the counselor to the stars because I think she's seen half the PCA pastors in my presbytery, including all my RUF guys, and some anti-anxiety medicines were so needed and so helpful. And that may be the case with you today. You know, Kathy and I talk often about, you know, we're not trying to give an excuse, but where is the line between your sin and your fallen chemicals? It's really strange. It's a good, maybe you should have a seminar here about that, Tim. I mean, really. And that may be your case today. I mean, really, I mean, you're a sinner, okay? We got that. But a lot of your behavior is maybe due to do something like that. But hard times, that's normal life. That's normal life in a broken, fallen world. A world in which you and I are also broken. That's normal life. Day-to-day life with all its duties and its deadlines and its obligations at work and at home. Normal life with its stresses in your marriage, stresses in your friendships, worries about the future, bills to pay, hurt feelings, dashed expectations about how you thought life should or would have or could have turned out for you right now. I am X amount of years old, and what has happened? What has happened to me? Sickness, cancer, killings, kidnappings, that's normal life. That's day-to-day life. Life has its share of dark valleys for each of you. This is not heaven, and it never will be heaven. And we buy into that so easily. And if we're not careful, we'll lose perspective. And before long, there is no sense of joy. And we'll sing about it. There's no sense of joy or peace in our lives. Jesus is no longer beautiful to us. And we doubt. We really doubt, if we're honest, that the Father is for us or loves us or even thinks about us at all. And therefore, we make no steps towards Him in our paralyzing unbelief. We just sit and sulk and just endure day after day. It's Tuesday. Tomorrow's going to be Wednesday. Have you been there? Is that you this morning? Are you in that emotional or spiritual valley in any way, shape, or form this morning? Your heart, you know, has that really heavy feeling. Maybe it's because of your own sin this morning. We're going to talk about that. And because of your own sin, you've lost hope. The writer of Lamentations, and I love the Bible because of this, that does not do anything but give you real life. Think about the Old Testament saints. They're a joke. They're a joke. And yet half of them are written in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith. I just preached through Jacob this semester with my RUF kids. I was so encouraged. That's not to let you off the hook, but we'll talk about that in a minute. But the writer of Lamentations, he's in a dark place. He's in a dark place. He is not kidding. He can't get up in the morning. It's hard for him. He's been tempted to lose hope in this very dark book, but there is hope. There's beautiful hope, even for you today. In the darkest part of the book, you see, right in the middle of the book, the very darkest part, something hits him. Something comes to him, like an oasis in a desert. And he lifts his head and he remembers. And his soul comes alive again. And that's God's grace, isn't it? That's what grace is all about. The fact is, we will never be able to endure or stand firm in trials or adversities or sufferings, dark valleys, unless we believe the good news of the gospel that Jesus comes to bring to your heart every single day and every hour. Unless we are content with God alone and enjoy, and I'm talking emotionally enjoy His favor, to emotionally enjoy that. In other words, that because of Jesus and what He did for you, God the Father is good to His children at all times and in all seasons and through every single valley you may go through. And unless you are content with God alone, Jesus alone, turning away from heart idols that only serve as cheap substitutes for you and temporary pain numbers for you, you're going to emotionally collapse like this guy's tempted to do. We will drown in adversity, and that is never God's will for you or for me. Never. So the first thing we need to do and to look at this morning, and I want you to feel this. This is going to be a postmodern kind of sermon. As Presbyterians, I love it. We are reasonable people. We are cognitive people. But I want you to Maintain that, but I want you to flip a little switch, and I want you to feel this, the darkness of the valley. I'm just going to go there for a bit, okay? But I want you to feel it. The context of this sad book appears to be right after the fall of Jerusalem, 5-600 B.C., the enemies of God, the enemies of God, and God's allowing this. We read about the providence of God, and I'm so glad we did. God is doing this. God's people humiliated. God's people. Babies ripped out of the mother's arms and killed. Weeping, wailing in the streets. Stuff that you want to run away from and hide. You can't bear it. That's what's happening. All that good stuff. What are God's people supposed to think about that? What are you supposed to think about that? When God is behind this, God is behind it. Listen to just some of the sections. I didn't read all of chapter 3. Just listen to some of the sections of chapter 3. And I want you to feel this, okay? Feel what he's saying. Get in his shoes. This is a man of God talking about God doing something to his people. Now, we have trouble with that. I mean, with good reason. He says that God has led me into darkness, shutting out all light. God has made my skin and my flesh grow old. Look at the picture there. He has buried me in a dark place like those long dead. I was going to mention the fact that Leanna's gerbil died 2 months ago, and she put it in a Ziploc bag, and it's still on our back porch waiting burial. But I didn't mention that. That was for her so she can listen to the MP3 this week, and she'll be so happy she got a laugh out of that. But God has buried me in a dark place like those long dead. God did that to him. Imagine that. And even though I cry and shout out, I'm trying to get God's attention. I'm crying. I'm shouting out. He has shut my prayers. Have you ever felt that? God is not listening to me. It freaks me out to have somebody aiming something at me, okay? I don't know if that's something I repressed from my childhood, but this is God with a bow in his hand. And he's doing this, and he points it at you. God has drawn his bow, and he has made me the target for his arrows. My own people laugh at me all day long. They sing their mocking songs to me. Now, I've only been mocked in song one time, as far as I know. I'm sure behind my back I may have been mocked in song, maybe here in this church. But I was like 9 or 10 years old, and I did not get my intermediate level Red Cross card, okay? I got my beginner, 8 o'clock in the morning, throw me into the pool. What cruelty parents do to their kids. I got advanced beginner. Now, I can't swim very well. I've almost drowned a couple of times, but big deal. That's life, right? But I got my advanced beginner card. I can get around if my canoe tips over. But I didn't get my intermediate level card. I didn't feel like getting up at 8 in the morning and jumping into 50-degree water. Okay? That's just not my deal, even at age 9. I was smart even back then. But the Muldowney boys found out about it. My age, my neighbors, they love me, man. They're my friends, right? They found out about it, and Brian didn't get his Red Cross card. Brian didn't get his Red Cross card over and over and over. It's one of those things like, this is not happening, right? I mean, they wouldn't shut up. And I was like, yeah, I did. It's back at the house. Over and over and over and over. So I slouched my way back home. Good times in Knoxville, Tennessee in 1971. But this is so much more sober. This is so much more sober. This is the Muldowney brothers. This is God's people singing songs of taunting to him. We continue, verse 16. He, God, has made me chew on gravel. He has rolled me in the dust. I cry out. My splendor is gone. Everything I had ever hoped for from the Lord is lost. Let me say that again, because you've been there. Everything I've ever hoped for from the Lord, it's lost. Now, that's a bad place to be. He has almost lost hope. He no longer finds strength in God. He is overwhelmed with evils. Valleys, y'all, can swallow you whole. And we'll hide it very well because we don't like to be those kind of people who complain a lot. Valleys can swallow you whole. They can lead to utter despair. And there are two main things that can lead or take Christians, believers, you, me, into the dark valleys. We're going to look at circumstances and we're going to look at sin. Sometimes they can be fused together. It's kind of the case here in this book. But they're usually separate with us. Circumstances can lead you into a dark valley immediately. That doctor's pronouncement, I'm afraid I have bad news. We're going to have to do surgery. a loved friend greatly disappointing you, betraying you, hurting you so deeply. That's a valley. That's a valley. A job loss. Kids not turning out like you had thought or hoped. Financial straits. One of my good friends in Cookeville is a stockbroker, financial advisor. And this time last year when I would take him to lunch, or he'd take me to lunch, he was jolly. He was merry. The stock market was good. The last two times I've met him, January and March, literally he is slouched over his desk looking at his computer screen. And there's just red numbers all over the board. That stock market is collapsing. And the other day I went in there and you've got to have a quiet time. You know me. You've got to get alone with the Lord. Turn the computer off. It's killing you. And I'll even buy your meal today. He was depressed. Kathy will be sitting up in bed, flipping through one of her quilting magazines. She's so happy. She's such a beautiful soul. And she'll drop the book. Something will hit her. And she'll... a missed obligation. A duty that she didn't perform. And her mood changes. Her mind just goes crazy. It happens to me, and it happens to you too. That kind of thing. But the writer of the Lamentations, he's in a much more dire situation, as some of you are this morning. I know it. And I'm in that way this morning too. I'll be honest with you. What's the temptation when circumstances in your life go south? What's the temptation? It is the worst thing that you could ever ponder. It is the worst thing that you could ever believe. It is the greatest sin you could ever commit. And it's not going out and getting torn up. We doubt the Father's goodness and love. We doubt the Father's goodness and love. We're suspicious of it. And why not? Why not? How could He love us, right? And allow this to happen? Don't be suspicious of the Father's love. We'll talk about that in a minute. But that's the valley you'll get in when circumstances hit. What in the world? Secondly, valleys can be caused by sin. Your sin, your habitual sin, the one you did again, the one you do again. Or it may be just one particular heinous sin that you committed 10 or 15 years ago and you can't shake it. Something, we've all been there. One of my kids at Tech lost her virginity 2 weeks ago. It's the first time it's happened to me in 2 years at Tech. But she did. And many, many, many tears. I was so proud of the way she responded with repentance. But she was in a valley, a really dark valley. What's your temptation this morning? Knowing what you did this past week, knowing what you did last night even. It's a horrible place to be if you're convicted and you're not feeling cleansed. It's a bad place to be. The temptation there is not only do you doubt the Father's love and goodness, that's bad enough. It's to stay right where you are and not go to Him because you're ashamed. Are you ashamed this morning? You feeling shame before the face of the Lord? Or maybe you're embarrassed. Are you embarrassed this morning? Why would God want to see you now? Why would God want to receive you now? Surely He's put out with me. I've been there. You know, some churches I go to and I pray, I mean, the worship leader is like, you know, God is holy. He is magnificent. God is the Almighty. And I'm saying, yes, 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 I know that. God bless you for good theology. But I don't need to hear that. Why would He want to see me? That's why I'm here in this pew. That's why I'm here. Why does He want to see me? Tell me again. Tell me again. I've got to hear it or I'm not going to open the hymn book. Oh, the darkness of the valley. The darkness of the valley. The writer of the Lamentations has lost all hope, almost convinced in his heart that there was no more hope for somebody like him anymore. But here, my dear brothers and sisters of Riverwood Presbyterian Church, the good news of the gospel this morning. Here's a true statement with all that I have to offer you today at all as a minister. First of all, God has placed you in the valley. And we can talk about that another time. In fact, I'm going to leave town quickly and let Tim pick up those pieces. But we read it in Heidelberg 27 and 28. We did Heidelberg 27 and 28 three or four weeks ago at Tennessee Tech. And we had many hours, well, 2 hours of conversation about it. I don't want to be that minister who exaggerates. Oh, Brian's ministering so well. Hours in that Bible study. No. We like our Dairy Queen. Some things haven't changed, Doc. I got to eat, man. I don't care who's confessing sin. We're out of here, man. I'm hungry. go call your mom. Sometimes it's the best advice to give. I can't be there, Lord. What do I have to tell them? You know, get up, dude. You know, God has placed you in the valley. He has. Back to being serious. But the other thing is, God often, if not always, makes the valleys the very place of hope for you. Not when you get out. Not when you're crawling out. Right there where you are this morning. I'm not saying stay there, but there's hope there. That's where God's going to meet you. That's where God's going to give you hope. Thank God for my valleys. And I can't believe I'm saying that. But I'm saying that. Thank God for my valleys. Because it is in the valleys that God shows you, if you're a believer, and does for you two things in ways he could not have done before. And amazingly, it's because he loves us. It is because he loves us. First of all, he shows us the beauty of his face again. The beauty of the Father's face. You can't see that many times unless you're in the valley. And secondly, he dismantles our heart idols. We're going to deal with those one at a time. And that kills us. It absolutely rips us apart. It's like taking your kid to the doctor and having them do a procedure on him. And you're out in the hallway and he's in the room and he is screaming his head off. And it's killing you. Tate, that happened to you, man, when you were like 2 years old. I know. It was terrible. It was terrible. And mom's still mad at me. This is a horrible confession, too. The NCAA basketball tournament was going on. And I had my pool in, and Princeton was almost about to beat UCLA. And I was watching the ticker while you were screaming, but I kept saying, Kathy, I can't do anything for him. I can't do anything for him. Get the ball in bounds. Somebody call timeout. You know what? This is a true story. She confessed that to me like 3 weeks ago, and she's been holding and harboring that for years. Said, sweetie, please tell me anything else. I don't want that. Don't harbor that. I had no idea. I thought it was reasonable. It kills us, but it has to be done. Or you can't feel him. You can't feel him. And you can't enjoy him. And that's that word feel again. Presbyterians feel, should feel. I want you to feel. I want to feel. I used to think stoicism equaled spirituality. That's bull crap. Sorry, Tim. It doesn't. Tense that I could get away with anything this morning, but I'm really going to keep it in the road. It's bull. It is in the time of greatest darkness that the writer says this, verse 21 through 23. Yet I still dare to hope. I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning. God is not ashamed of your valleys. He's not ashamed of your complaints. He wants to hear them. Do you realize that? John Calvin said that. We don't like complainers. God wants to hear you, brother and sister. He wants to hear what's going on with you. He is not annoyed by them, and he is not annoyed by your continual repentance. Is it better for you not to repent than to go back the thousandth time? Go back. He's not annoyed by that. We think he is. Why? Why can I say that? Because the faithful covenant love of the Lord never ends. Why can I say that? Because that covenant love has nothing to do with you this morning. Do you realize that? God's covenant love has nothing to do with you. It's got nothing to do with your performance. You think it does. You think it does. You still think God loves good little boys. You still think God loves good little girls. He does not. God loves sinners. God loves sinners. His love's not based on what you do or your performance at any given moment. It was sealed on the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what I told the tech girl the other night. I said, Brittany, it was sealed on the cross of Jesus. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. His faithful love never ends. His mercies never cease. It is finished. What is finished? Everything that is needed to show you mercy this morning is finished. It's been completed. God has done it. It's finished. Everything that is needed to show you mercy in that pew right now has been accomplished. Therefore, there is always hope. There is always hope. I don't care what you have done, what you're going through right now. Don't lose heart. I can't give you all the answers, but there is hope. The Father loves you, son. The Father loves you, daughter. His mercies towards you are and will be new to you every single morning. In my senior annual, they ask you for a quote, and everybody gets real cute or a little bawdy. I was so nerdy. I became a Christian earlier that year, and I had Amy Grant's first album, and I was in love with Amy Grant. And she had a little song called, "You Get a Brand New Start Each Day, Man." Boy, what a great theology. But it is good theology. You get a brand new start each day. I was just a melancholic, beat up. You know, I would sin and think God didn't want to see me for 2 days. How good, God. You get a brand new start each day. That's what I put. But you know what? You get a brand new start each hour. You get a brand new start each minute, actually. Listen, that's a rabbit trail. Here's the point. Your emotions will be all over the place. Your mind is going to wander all over the place and be so dark in your deepest valleys unless and until you're fully persuaded that God alone is sufficient for you. God alone is sufficient for your heart satisfaction until you are convinced and you are warmed by the fact that the Father adores you and He is for you, even at your lowest, even in your greatest failure. He is for you. Now, you may bear the scars of your sin, for sure, okay? You may bear the consequences of that sin for a long time, if not your entire life. You may sell plants at Walmart because of what you did. Sorry if we got any stockholders in here. But the Father is for you. The Father is for you, and that's what you forgot. That's why you're so sad today. You know, the Father is for you. He will never give you a stone if you ask for bread. Jesus said that. And again, that doesn't mean you're going to get X, Y. But He's not going to give you a stone if you ask for bread. He's going to give you Himself. You know? It's true. And so it is in the valleys that God intends for you, even this morning, to see the beauty and the constancy of the Father's love for you. There is always hope. You will always be received with love, with a party, with a celebration when you run to God with repentance and belief that He is good to you because of Jesus. Always. Now, this message of grace, Brian Bond 101, this message of hope for God's people in their dire circumstances and in their deep sin, it is so important. Every Sunday you need it. Every day you need it. You need to hear this. You forgot it this week. You forgot it today. You can believe it again this morning and find hope today because it's true. I'm not selling you a bill of goods. It's true. But something else needs to happen. Here's 102, Blake. Because you could just walk away from the sermon encouraged, really amazed that God is that way. And that's fantastic. But by 4 or 5 o'clock today, you'll be back again. You'll be back in that valley. You'll be dominated by your circumstances, indulging in internet pornography, trying to fill your emotions up with gossip or food or shopping or in a person. Maybe that's your idol this morning. In your codependency, in your insecurity, looking for that person to be more to you than God intends for them to be. Yes, God does intend for your valleys to be a place where you see His beauty, where you taste His grace again. And I hope you do this morning. Man, I hope you do. Keep following me. But He also intends something else. He intends to dismantle your heart idols. He wants to and must be your portion, your inheritance. Verse 24, I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance, or the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will hope in Him. God not only wants you to know that no matter how dark your valleys get, that He is beautiful and He's ready to receive you, that He is for us. He actually intends to be our treasure. Do you see that? The one who satisfies our hearts. Does He satisfy your heart this morning? Does He satisfy your heart? Or some of those other things I mentioned? To be our inheritance, to be our portion, to be enough. You know, you get a big old portion. That's good. That's good. You've been there in line. That's good. That's enough. It's enough. My portion in the Old Testament, the 12 tribes of Israel all received portions of land, good land too, promised land, to settle in. Every one of the 12 tribes got that land, good times, except one did not get that, the priest, folks like me, the tribe of Levi. God said to them, instead, you're not going to get land. Instead, I myself will be your portion. I, knowing, enjoying, serving, loving me, that's going to be your portion. Were they ripped off? That sounds really spiritual. And No. Were they ripped off? We are so sensually driven here in America. We take such good things. We take such good gifts of God, like sex, like relationships, like beauty, like houses and cars and intelligence. And we so quickly turn them into idols, thinking that we must have these things, these pleasures, this perceived security. I've got to have it or else I will die. Coveting stinks. Coveting stinks. Hear my boy, John Calvin, my favorite theologian by far. He's unbelievable. I mean, it's like he got zapped in 2008. It's like he never died. He's so relevant. Please read John Calvin. It's not scary at all. He's amazing. And I'm not this Reformed. You know that. He's the man. My favorite guy. Listen to Calvin. I texted this to Kathy yesterday. Most men seek their happiness apart from God. True. Everybody desires to be happy. But as the thoughts of men wander here and there, there is nothing more difficult than to so fix all our hope in God so as to disregard all other things. So hard. It's impossible. Everybody, Calvin says, everybody who is not satisfied with God alone are immediately seized with impatience whenever trials hit them. How true is that? Let me read that again. All who are not satisfied with God alone are immediately seized with impatience whenever trials hit them. And you know the feeling. God puts us in valleys, y'all, so that we will be stripped. We will be exposed. We hate that. We love our veneers. And it's not just southern veneers. It's human veneers. So that we will be naked. So that in turn, he does it because he loves us, y'all. So that in turn, we would cling to him. We would cry out to him. We would depend upon him to find our joy and rest and contentment in God alone. Why do we do these crazy things like coveting? Why does God put us into valleys? There's one answer for both those questions. It's because we're sinners. It's because we're prone to wander, like the song says. And because, I'm back to this again, because he loves you tenaciously. He loves you so much that he's shaking you down. He's stripping you bare because he knows he's the only one that can satisfy your heart. He loves you with a jealous passion. So no matter what it is you're going through today, build all your life in hope on the solid ground of confidence that the Father loves me and is always and will be always favorable to me. All your salvation, all of your happiness is to be found in God alone. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the raw bareness of the Bible. And I really pray, because this is a supernatural thing, we can't work this up, that you really would allow us to believe the gospel today. Please do this for every heart in here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Riverwood Presbyterian Church podcast. Please visit us on the web at riverwoodchurch.org.